Good morning. Today's reading, we're introducing peace. Peace. This desired yet elusive ideal is not found in politics, the news, social media, addictions, or shallow relationships. Peace is only found through Jesus Christ. When we are at peace with God, then God's peace may be in us.
In O Holy Night by Adolf Adam in 1847, there is a line that depicts the peace of God as a thrill of hope the weary world rejoices. It's a breath of crisp mountain air, a sublime sunset, a breakthrough on a difficult project, or a baby's first cry after a hard night of labor. It's peace, a peace that settles deep into the bones and stills an anxious soul.
Today marks the second week of Advent, a season recognized by the church around the world as a time to prepare our hearts and lives to welcome the coming of Jesus at Christmas. We track this season by engaging in several rhythms, one of them being to light the candles, one for each week leading up to the Christmas day. And today we light the second candle, traditionally called the Candle of Peace. Old Testament prophecies in the Bible were written for their immediate context, but some of these prophecies were also a foreshadow to Jesus at Christmas. We read these prophecies to remind us who Jesus is and why Jesus came to us at Christmas.
Isaiah 9:6 is a popular scripture used in Advent. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came as a child born to us with the eternal government of heaven on his shoulders as his responsibility. Jesus is in charge, and where Jesus rules, there is peace.
Like a legend of old, Jesus rules with authority and power and treats those who live in the kingdom of Christ with kindness and honor. As Micah 5, 4 through 5a, he says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
Please pray with me. Jesus, our peace be near to us when our lives seem far from peaceful. Assure us of your presence with us. We need you, Holy Spirit, and we cry out for your help. Be our gentle shepherd, our wise king, and the peace of our hearts, we pray. Amen.
It's the second Sunday of Advent, and we're kind of into that here. We think the church calendar brings great rhythm into our lives of intensity and focus, and then even times of that aren't maybe as intense. But it's not done in a vacuum. I think these things, they really mean something. We talked about hope last week. How desperately do we need hope? You know, now this week we're going to talk about peace, and we obviously need that as well. And moments earlier when we lit the Advent candle, we reminded ourselves that in Jesus Christ we have hope, which is the first candle that was lit, and as we'll discuss today, peace, which is the second candle. But when I think of this last year or this last week, peace is not what comes to my mind. Peace is not, if I was to describe 2020, peace would not be the first word that would pop into my head. How about you? What words come to mind when you think about this last year? And go ahead and speak a couple out, and I'll repeat them for those that are watching. But what are...
Chaos.
Drama.
Fear.
Despair.
Uncertainty.
Yeah. Peace doesn't sound like any of those things to me. And yet here we are in the midst of it all, and we're going to talk about peace. And one of the things I want to say right out of the gate is that peace that comes from God is not determined or dictated by your circumstances. True and genuine peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding and guards your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus, is not determined by your circumstances. There are other things that factor into to what peace is. And it's interesting this morning, it's kind of funny because I was just going to dive right in and talk about how do we get peace and how do we maintain peace. And then Anya was sharing before the we were practicing this morning, and she'll share a little bit in a few moments to lead off our second set. But basically, the question came to me like, I'm going to talk about how to find peace and how to maintain peace without really talking about what peace is. Like, we talk about peace, like we all know what it means, and I think we have some vague thoughts of it, but a lot of times, and Tony said this, we think of peace as the absence of something. So I have peace when there's no agitation in my life. I have peace when my family, or when I'm getting along with Sarah, which is, I guess, a positive thing, but when there's no conflict. You know, we'll have peace when there's no war. We'll have peace, you know, but peace is so much more than that. The peace of God that passes all understanding and guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus speaks more when we look at the biblical definition of peace or the word shalom. There are positive things to that. It's not just the absence of things, but it is a sense of completeness, of wholeness. In other words, this sense, I have peace because I'm not striving for anything. I have this sense of being completed in Christ. I'm whole. Things, as Larissa said, things are as they should be in my relationship with God primarily, but then also in relationship to myself. And as far as it is possible, the scripture says, as with other people. Do you kind of catch what I'm saying? So peace is not just an absence of, but it is a fullness of. There is a completeness, a wholeness. I'm at peace because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in my life. I don't need anything else. I'm okay. Things are as they should be in relationship to God and in relationship even within myself, and then again, as far as possible, with those around me. So that, having said that, is to kind of get us out of the gate. Now, that's pretty positive, and that sense of peace, again, is not based on my circumstances. I understand that life can be hard. I understand the temptations towards fear and anxiety. I'll tell you, this second round of crackdowns on the coronavirus and, you know, freezes and all, I have sensed the anxiety level of people shoot through the roof. So much more fear. The numbers have gone up. All these things, which, by the way, make light of the coronavirus in any way, shape, or form. But we were told, if anybody was listening, that they were going to go up in the winter. This, you know, so it's not, anyway, it's just, this is the reality of the world we're living in. So the question really is, how do we have peace? And let me tell you something. I think Advent this year, hope, peace, joy, and love, those are the four weekends of Advent and the four things that we're celebrating. This world desperately needs all four of these things. We need hope. We need peace. We need joy, and we need love. And in a time of isolation and separation, people are feeling disconnected and unloved. So I got something to say to you today, and my Enneagram 8-ness is, rise up. Be the church. Don't be as anxious as everybody else around you. Don't be anxious about anything. We can talk about this. But in prayer and with praise and thanksgiving, make all your requests known to God, and the peace of God. Again, you're going to hear this a few times. That passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The world needs the church now more than ever. And you know who the church is, right? I'm not talking about they need to hear me up here yelling and screaming at you guys. They need to see you, the church, and me, the church, with hope, with peace, with joy. Our message for this season is the weary world rejoices. The weary world. Or for today, I would say I would ask the question, how does a weary world find peace? And I think the Advent season, it invites us to explore these things. It says, slow down a little bit. The world, the reason we call it an Advent conspiracy is because what does the world do during this time? It frenzies up. Bye, 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 bye. We're encouraging you to conspire against culture, to slow things down, to spend less, to contemplate these things that we're talking about. So how do we find peace in this broken and crazy world? Well, here's how one person suggests we find peace. You want to hear one person's solution to how to find peace? The way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things you've started. So I looked around the house to see all the things I started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, the Prozac, some Valium, some cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. Now, you can't imagine how good I felt after that. Now, that's kind of designed, I think, to be funny. It's intended to be funny. But I think the reality for many during this time of social isolation, political chaos, and national unrest, that this option, actually, to drown out all of that through some kind of addictive behavior is extremely tempting. And to me, actually, that's not funny. I know it was funny, and it is funny what this person shared. But there are many today whose addictions have skyrocketed, who in their ability to, or their attempts to calm their anxiety, to drown out their fears, they've turned back to or going deeper into destructive behavior. So we are weary. How do we find peace? Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. During this Advent season, one of the things I love about it is that we remind ourselves that Jesus is here, right? Don't we? Jesus came, how? As a baby, right? In a manger. God among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is here. We also remind ourselves that Jesus is coming again. And it is in the person of Jesus that we find the peace that we all so long for. And you're like, duh, I learned that in the first grade, right? Or in Sunday school. Yeah, but did you? Have you really? See, I'm going to go through some things, and it's basic stuff. It's kind of what we do in Advent and in Lent, both seasons. Remind ourselves of some really basic things. That's why Anya picked songs today about the cross. I mean, it just doesn't get any more foundational than that. It's at the cross that we find peace, right? So here's the first thing. Again, elementary stuff. The first way that I would encourage you to find and to live in the peace of God is to know that God loves you. Again, you might be tempted to say, that's Sunday school stuff. Is it? Is it really? Are you and I truly living every day, walking, experiencing, enjoying, and finding the peace of God that comes through knowing how much God passionately loves you? You see, we believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, but there will not be much comfort in that unless you know that God loves you. It's not very comforting to think of a God that's all-knowing and all-powerful and yet question whether he loves us or not. Is God just out to get us? And I hear many Christians who live their lives under this incredible sense of shame and judgment. That, my friends, is heartbreaking. When Jesus came from heaven to die for you, to set you free, to express to you how deep the Father's love is for you and for me. The scriptures teach us that God so loves you that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for you. Again, John 3:16. This is elementary stuff. But my question sometimes is, do we really know this? We know it in our head. But I'm here today to remind you, and in this Advent season, to invite you to contemplate again how deep the Father's love is for you and for me. Because I see many Christians who still are not experiencing the peace of God in their lives because they still have difficulty really grasping how wide and how deep and how long is the love of Christ for us. The second thing that I want to encourage you to or invite you to do this morning is to turn away from sin. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this true peace begins when we make our peace with God. And this happens when we turn away from our sin, which is part of our message that we don't communicate very well. We invite people to come to Jesus and all. He loves you passionately. He wants to be close to you. He wants to be intimate and your best friend, you know. But God is God, and the fact of the matter is that sin destroys your life. Sin brings anxiety, and it brings destructive things into our lives. Where there is sin, there is no peace. Now, we can confess, thank God we can confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But most of us in this room know what I'm talking about, if we're honest, right? That in our struggle with sin, there's not much peace there. So I encourage you, by the grace of God, to turn away from your sin, from our sin. Those attitudes, thoughts, and deeds that bring disorder and chaos into our lives. See, again, this is where I think we get things mixed up a little bit. We think God's just looking down like, I'm just waiting for them to mess up so I can punish them. When God's in heaven weeping. And the reason he calls you to move away from your sin is not because he's some big meanie up in the sky somewhere, but because he loves you and knows the destruction and the chaos that sin brings into our lives. Come on now. In him we are forgiven and justified. In Christ we find peace. The third thing that is very closely associated, I think, with the last thing is to live in obedience to God. So you don't just turn away from stuff, you turn towards someone. You look to God. You look to live in obedience to God. And this may seem obvious, but just a family illustration might help. You know, those of us that have had kids, or you've all been kids at some time or another. So when there is disobedience in the home, there's chaos. Isn't there? There just is. It's just a fact of life. If there is disobedience, even in my relationship with Sarah, in other words, I'm not walking in love towards her, it brings chaos into our marriage. There's no peace there. It's the same. When we live in obedience to God, not only are we in step, not only is there a sense of completeness and wholeness, but we are living into then all that God has for us. Because obedience is not a drudgery. I mean, obedience is to walk in love, right? All the laws are summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. That sounds pretty good to me. To walk in obedience is to walk in love and in joy and in peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. It'll sound pretty good. Obedience is not a drudgery, and turning away from sin is not a negative thing. These are positive things. This is God's heart, his love for you and for me. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. If you want peace, live in obedience. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The fourth thing then is to pray about everything. Again, Sunday school stuff. But do we really do it? What do we do with our anxiety? What do we do with our fear? What do we do with our questions? Do we just pick up the phone and call a friend? Now, that's okay. I mean, friends are good. It's good to have friends. It's good to have accountability. Good to have people pray for us. But we have direct access to the one who can give us peace in that situation. I've already quoted this verse a few times, but just I'll do it one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, again, I've said it, but have we just sat back and taken that, the reality of those words in? I don't have to be anxious. And I come into God's presence, and all of a sudden, there's this sense of eternity. And this sense of, again, I do not want to downplay the seriousness of the pandemic, because real people have died. And loved ones have gotten sick. But to be honest, this has happened before. And even worse. And the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, for me, is a place of peace. I don't want to get the coronavirus. But even if I did, and even if I died, you know, I win either way. I win if I live. I win if I die. I don't see what there is to be afraid of there. I don't want to be foolish. I certainly don't want to get someone sick who doesn't know Jesus. So I'm not advocating for stupidity. I'm just saying, I can honestly say to you that I am at peace. I don't have a concern. For others, yes. I just bring it to God. God hears and he moves on behalf of his people. Whatever it is that has you anxious, whatever relationship, whatever family member, whatever son or daughter, we commit them into God's hands. We have peace. So most of what I've shared relates in some way to what Jesus has done for us the first time he appeared on the earth. Jesus came, he suffered, he lived, he suffered, he died, and he was resurrected. And that's why we can talk about the things I've just mentioned. But there's one more way to maintain the peace of God in your life. And this has to do with Jesus coming again. I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves and take comfort in the final outcome. And that's really what I just said in some ways, right? The final outcome for me, I trust with all my heart, is that because of what Jesus has done for me and my trust in that, that I will be in heaven no matter what. And really, when that happens, I'm not going to probably be complaining that I only lived 59 and a half years or whatever, you know? Notice I didn't say 60. I'm not 60. 59 and a half. The prophet Micah spoke these words. He said, "The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear." And I don't know that Micah even fully understood it, but that to me is a description of heaven. There'll be nothing to fear. There'll be no more war. The peace of God will reign and rule over everything. And I think sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that as we look forward to Jesus coming again, as we look forward even to when we, you know, I don't know when Jesus will come back, but if it's a long time from now, then everybody in this room at some point is going to step into the fullness of eternity. And when that happens, I don't understand things now, but I'll understand more then. And every tear will be wiped away, every grief, every sorrow. And I take comfort in that. It brings me peace to know that every wrong is going to be made right. Every evil is going to be judged, quite frankly, and everything is going to be made right. Again, I want to remind you that our peace is grounded in the unchanging reality that Jesus is here. And Jesus is coming again. So I have just one last thing as I conclude here that I want to just share with you, because up to this point, I've really talked about our own personal peace, peace in a very personal sense. But there's one final element of peace that I would like to highlight, and there should be an image that comes up here on the screen. Do you see how still that water is? That water, to me, defines peace. There is a stillness. Now, what do you see in the water? What do you see clearly in the water? The reflection of that incredible mountain. Now, if this water was agitated, if the winds were blowing and there was waves and white caps on that water, you wouldn't see that mountain reflected anymore. And in some ways, you probably wouldn't even see the mountain because there might be clouds and different things going on, right? My point here is that, and I want you to get this because it's not just about you and me, a heart at peace, I believe, clearly reflects the majesty of God. That when our hearts are at peace and God is then shining into our lives, that when we are at peace, we reflect the glory of God. Others see Jesus in us. When we're agitated and worked up and God, you know, we're just, I don't think Jesus is shining as clearly through that. So peace is definitely something we all long for, right? And I'm all for that. I think I want you, my heart is for you to know peace, to have that peace from God that isn't based on your circumstance. But I also have a heart for others to know, for others that don't know, that don't have that peace, especially now, that they could look at you and they could look at me and they would see Jesus and there'd be something there that they would want. And when I first came to Jesus, it was through a man that was in difficult circumstances, but his life was at complete peace. And I saw something. I did not have that. And I saw something in that man, and I was just naturally drawn. I wanted to know. Even though I fought him tooth and nail for months, that man was instrumental in me coming to know Jesus. He was a man at peace in the midst of a lot of turmoil, actually. And I wanted that. Are you at peace today? Are you at peace with God, those who might be even listening? And if not, you can have that peace today. You can surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and I'd be more than happy to respond to any kind of communication to talk more about how we do that, how we really put our trust and faith in Jesus, that Jesus died to take away our sin, to forgive us, to bring us into a place of peace. I encourage you, even those here today, to not delay. Maybe you've already given your heart to Christ, but maybe it's just that sense here in this Advent season of just saying, I'm just going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to seek the face of God. I need his peace in my life. Again, I think we can find that by really asking God to reveal his love for us, not just theologically, but really in a very personal way. By taking all of our concerns to God in prayer, by living in obedience to God and turning away from our sin, I believe that then we can experience what the psalmist experienced in Psalm 4, verse 8. He says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. An absolute confidence in God. And the psalmist, even someone living under the Old Testament, had this sense of peace. I'm just going to close this in prayer here. Father, I just thank you. And I believe, God, that you want to give us peace. And Lord, I pray that we would find that peace in you. That God, that you would help us to come into a place of really surrendering all of our cares and all of our anxieties and all of our concerns. Lord, that we would come to know your love intimately and put our absolute confidence and trust in you. We want to be a people that reflect you to others around us. And right now, this world desperately needs peace. But they need to know that that peace can only come through you, Jesus. May we be a reflection, Lord, and may others come to know you. We cry out to you in Jesus' name. Amen.